This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
If your doctor tells you your physical has turned up an arrhythmia, a rhythm disorder in your heart, that might cause it to skip a beat right then and there. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero explains the biggest concern is, like a realtor says, location, location, location.
And arrhythmias are geographically specific. So it depends on where we are in the heart. In a normal heart, in a young, otherwise healthy patient, there are abnormal arrhythmias that can occur, most common of which is called supraventricular tachycardia. These are abnormal circuits based on the electrical anatomy. They are not life-threatening. They can be life-annoying, and they usually occur in the top or middle part of the heart.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
Say, we're not going to let you take all the bids before the season kicks off. I don't know. Maybe if push comes to shove, they say, go ahead, we'll call your bluff and go ahead and try to take your ball and go home.
Well, then the other thing is like, all right, let's say they do the four auto bids. Are we just saying 1 through 4 in the standings? Like, how are we doing this? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's the other thing is, like, I don't even know if coaches in those conferences would like that. Like, as much as they like to bellyache about the committee and take to Twitter for a month and complain about the committee, do you really want the bids to be determined strictly off standings when you have these conferences that are so huge that you maybe only play half the teams in your league throughout the course of the season? So I really don't know that the standings are a fair reflection of who should get the auto bids. Like, you know, in the NFL, it's all these college guys, like they like to say, like, well, let's do it more like how the NFL does it. You know, and the NFL doesn't have a committee that decides who gets in the playoff. No, but like,
they do have balanced scheduling.
Yeah, in the NFL, like, you're going to play everybody in your division twice, and there's going to be a division winner, and that team goes to the playoff. Like, in college football, it's not like that. You know, you've got these massive conferences. You're only playing half the teams in your conference, and then you're going to award 4 auto bids based off the standings when you didn't even play half the teams in your league, and the scheduling could be very imbalanced. Like, to me, that's a really bad way to award playoff bids. And I just think, like, throughout college football's history, throughout its entire history, the rankings have been part of it. The rankings have meant something. And we all debate and gripe and moan about it. But I do think if you take it away and just go off the standings, I don't know, maybe this would be one of those myths that prove untrue, but I think that might be bad for the sport. I think there would be some regret about letting it come purely off the standings, particularly when you're not even playing, you know, half the teams that you're being compared against for auto bids.
I think the only way you can do it is if you make some concerted effort to do a balanced schedule. I mean, I've thrown out the idea, all right, the Big Ten's got 18 teams. They play 9 conference games. Rank the teams 1 through 18. One year, you know, wherever you finish, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 15, 17. Those are your conference games, and then do the same for the evens. And so at least it's not like a perfect formula, but like at least there's going to probably be some balancing, but no one has any appetite for that. Well, God forbid, we got to preserve all these rivalry games that we don't care about that we're killing left and right. But yeah, you know, it's like, fine, protect one game, and then, you know, you can do it on a spreadsheet pretty easily. There's just, to me, the biggest issue I keep seeing is the lack of commitment to making, with these leagues being as big as they are, the lack of commitment to a balanced schedule, I think, is just going to keep creating problems.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, like, for better or worse, and I actually think it's probably for better, like, rivalries still run college football, right? And with the television networks having so much say kind of over the configuration of the sport, they don't want to risk those rivalries on the docket for the sake of fairer scheduling. Like, I mean, we can look at the television ratings, you know, every year, and yeah, top 25 games are good for the TV ratings, but so the rivalry games are huge too. Even if that's not, you know, number two versus number four, you get a classic rivalry game, and it's going to do some monster numbers. And I just I don't think that they're willing to sacrifice that. And I'm actually kind of glad. Like, I think, you know, again, as the sport heads down like the NFL-ication road and becomes more and more professional in nature, I do think you run the risk of sort of like losing your thing that differentiates you from the pros, and truly just admitting like we're AAA football now. Like, I don't think AAA football has the same appeal that college football does, you know, even if it's, you know, sort of college football in name only, wink wink, at some point. Like,
you know what
I
mean.
Still think the sport needs the thing that differentiates it from the NFL so that we don't all just wake up and realize this is a AAA sport.
All right, Blake, we appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Blake Topmeyer, senior national columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. When we come back, let's get into the list. Lots to get to from the world of sports. We've had more coaching moves in the NFL. Also, probably talk some hoops coming up during hour number two. Stick around. You'll listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. There's only a few days to go until the Commanders take on the Eagles and the Bills go up against the Chiefs in the NFL Conference Championship games. And you don't want to miss the ultimate NFL watch party that includes VIP table service, the best food on Broadway in Nashville, amazing DJs, swag giveaways, and much more at Nashville's only Dierks Bentley's Whiskey Row. In addition to this unrivaled NFL watch party, Zen Sports is excited to announce it will transform into the VIP Play Alongside, its completely redesigned app that will take sports betting to a whole new level coming in this March. Join us in celebrating the exciting news at our exclusive VIP NFL watch party at Whiskey Row in downtown Nashville from 2 p.m. till 10 p.m., where the vibes just hit different. What's more, all new and existing Zen Sports VIP customers will earn perks at the event, including second floor VIP access, table service, and much more. You can inquire about reserving a VIP table for the event by contacting events@vipplayinc.com. This exclusive event is not limited to just existing VIPs, as every person who downloads the app and becomes a customer will earn a $200 no danger first wager. That's double the current offer right now when you use the code NHSVIP, NHSVIP. Then after you make your first bet, you will earn guaranteed entry into the exclusive VIP NFL watch party. Go to zensports.com/whiskeyrow for more information and to reserve your spot. Don't miss out. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. No danger. First wager limited to plus 500 odds. To qualify, terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. Common sense. All right, Tim. This, of course, was a story that was sweeping the nation earlier this week when an 11-year-old from L.A. pulled out a one-of-one Paul Skeens rookie card. Of course, Skeens and the Pirates were making the attempt to entice the young man to give up the card by offering, I believe it was 30 years of seats behind home plate. Livy Dunn even threw in her skybox whenever he wanted to attend games. There was memorabilia. They were going to let him play a softball game with his friends in PNC Park, which is, by the way, a criminally underrated baseball park.
Awesome baseball stadium.
This was all this was always headed towards they were going to auction off the cart. This would be a different situation if the family lived in Pittsburgh or even close. They live in L.A. No duh, they're sending this thing to auction.
What were they going to do with 30 years of Pirates tickets?
Well, At first, I was trying to look up. My wife was like, what are you doing? Yesterday, I was pretty frantically like online. I was like, I was trying.
Oh, see how much you could sell each week, every game for?
I was trying to see, like, well, maybe there's a case that, because reportedly at auction, it's going to make at least a million.
Jeez.
Because it is a true one of one. Now, there's also like some risk of, I mean, if Skeens continues on this pace, doesn't get hurt, and in 10 years, it's like, what could that thing have fetched? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it probably could have gotten even more. You also run the risk of, hey, maybe the guy that throws 102 every single pitch, like maybe his elbow's not going to last forever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so how long?
So I'm kind of a novice when it comes to collectibles. So Skeens wants this card,
I assume? Because it is a true one-of-one rookie card. He wants it so badly, he even got Livy was like doing some PR work.
Why doesn't he just give him $1 million?
It's a great question. Or, I mean, I guess in
like
the
if
end,
you want it so bad, just give him $1 million.
I think in the end, it was a negotiation. You're trying to get the card. I think what Paul Skeens was trying to do was get the card really without giving up anything of real value to him.
Right.
Like in the end,
nothing in this does he have to spend any money on.
Correct. The only thing I guess you could theoretically say if he and Livy are splitting bank accounts, I assume when Livy goes to the games and sits in the skybox, she has to pay for it.
Probably, yes.
Most.
Unless somehow that's in his contract, but I wouldn't imagine that's in there yet.
In this one, I would not think so. So I would imagine.
Yeah, if I'm this kid, and I don't know, maybe this kid, I assume if he's a baseball card collector at 11, he probably likes baseball. So I think there's some unique aspects to it, like going to spring training and meeting Paul Skeens and taking batting practice. Like, those are pretty cool things, but I also would want $1 million. So,
and let's be clear, your son's 7, correct?
Yeah.
If your boy pulls this out, how long would it take you to take it to auction? Because I can tell you, if Joseph... I would say, the only thing is, like, I would have to, like, have a conversation of, like, how long does the paperwork take? So maybe tomorrow. But, like, yeah, I'm taking the
thing to auction. I think there's, like, a middle ground if I'm this kid. Like, if I am a baseball fan, like, I like some of those things. I could give two craps about season tickets to the Pirates for 30 years. I would be like, all right, here's the deal. Anytime I want to go to a Pirates game for the rest of my life, I call this number, I get tickets. And that could be home or road. I live in L.A. Dodgers are here. Dodgers, Pirates. Hey, I want tickets. Okay, you got tickets. I would like the spring training experience. I want some cool gear from Paul Skeens. I would also like $500,000.
I think you're right. I think the simple answer is, like, if Skeens really does want it that badly,
just pay him.
Just go. Well, or yeah, like either bid on it at auction or work out a separate deal where you don't even take it to auction. But it seemed to me like most of the cost that was getting put up was from the Pirates. I just don't, because I was trying to see, like, because as my wife pointed out, she's like, well, even if the ticket face value, it's like, I don't know how many Pirates games you've watched lately. Plenty of good sections still available.
Yeah.
Again, I stand by it. It's a criminally underrated stadium. But
awesome stadium. I love it. Do those seats include, like, the all-you-can-eat package? Because, like, man, that's kind of dope. Like, I go to a baseball. If I go to a baseball game and I get all the food and booze I want, that'd be kind of cool.
I was unable to, like, because I was, you had to, like, request the information from the Pirates, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, I was trying to see, far. Like, but, like, thinking about it just in these terms, it's like, all right, for it to be 30 years of tickets, roughly what? You're going to have to make $31,000 every single year for it to be $1 million. Because, like, there would kind of be an argument of, all right, it's kind of the lottery thing. Like, do you want to take the lump sum payout or do you want to take the payout over 30 years? But the problem is there's no way you're selling these tickets for 81 games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just...
Unless you're selling them for $30.
And then there's always just going to be the reality of $1 million today is way more valuable than $1 million over 30 years. This was always headed this way.
Like, I would almost say the worst part of that deal is the season tickets, because they live in Los Angeles.
Correct.
Like, California.
And it's like,
the spring training experience, like, that could be pradty dope. Like, fly me to Bradenton. I think that's where they're at, Bradenton, Florida. Take batting practice, meet the team, hang out. Like, that would be pretty cool. Going and having a baseball game or a softball game at PNC Park, that would be kind of cool. What the hell am I going to do with 81 baseball games for 30 years when I live in California?
Yeah, I mean, I guess make the argument, this entices you to move to Pittsburgh, but it's like, I don't know, man.
Maybe you're going to go to Carnegie Mellon in 7 years, and then you can have seasons. But even then, you're going to want to go to every baseball game at the PNC? When Paul Skeens inevitably is already on the Yankees 5 years later?
Livy should just do an Instagram post that makes her like $1 million and just buy it for him.
Yes. If he wants it so bad, just buy the damn thing. Kid wants some cash, or his family wants some cash. Meet in the middle, man. Send him some jerseys. Send him some stuff. You know, get Livy Dunn to take a picture with him. And then give him $500,000.
What does Livy make a year?
Oof, I have no idea.
Millions. I guess that's the other thing I was thinking about. How long... like, how long's her gravy train? Because, like, in the end, she's now famous not really for being a gymnast. Like, you know, she's on the national championship team, but she didn't participate. You know, she was, like, you know, she was rostered, but she wasn't, like, doing an event. So it's not really, like, her prowess as a gymnast. I think she's now just a celebrity, right?
Yes. She has 5.3 million Instagram followers. She's Insta famous, and that people make a lot of money doing that. So she'll probably make a lot of money for quite some time, I would think, right?
So this is saying, I think she made 4 million last year.
Do we know that for sure, or is that like her like NIL evaluation deal?
It was from Sportico. I don't think it's NIL valuation. I think it's people that understand how social media ads work. Like, she's getting paid per post. And then she obviously has a deal with Vuori. Yeah. Like, she has other deals. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, because part of it is social media always going to be profitable? I guess, right?
I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's like, is she going to be in our lives for like another 20 years?
I would say no.
Because like, even now, I think with Kate Upton, I think it was a choice. Like, I think Kate Upton actually was like, I've had my run at fame. I'm cool. I'm going to go be Verlander's wife and a mom. Like, I think she's made like a... people like that that are not in the spotlight, that's usually a conscious choice. Like, I don't know. Like, are you just... I think part of it for her will be like, how long does she want to be famous?
Well, Kate Upton was also a supermodel.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the other thing. It's like, when's the last... like, you couldn't open the internet for like 5 years without seeing something about Kate Upton. It's like, now the only times you ever see her is like, she, like, I think she showed up to one of the World Series games where Verlander pitched, and you're like, oh, Kate Upton. Yeah, forgot about that. But, I mean, she was, like, everywhere. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Let's do Notre Dame Fighting Irish. All right, Tim, so for everyone out there that believes that Notre Dame should join a conference, the athletic department in South Bend will receive a $20 million check from their college football postseason run.
They have to share that with?
That would be themselves.
Oh, interesting.
I just don't see... no one has really presented a situation that makes sense to me where Notre Dame's going to have to join a conference. The only scenario that ever makes sense to me is if we truly do the SEC, Big Ten, AFC, NFC breakaway, they're probably going to have to be, to want to be a part of that, they would have to join one of them. But I still think there's a hesitation to do that.
At this point, there's no reason to join a conference unless they're forced to do it. And Jack Swarbrick, their previous athletic director, said the only way we would join a conference is if our pathway to the playoff was now blocked due to what's going on. This year hammered home they shouldn't join a conference. Why would you ever join a conference? And I get it all the time from people like, oh, they're skating by. I'm like, if your team could do it too, you would too. And like, I think other teams, you could argue, probably should think about doing it. Like, I know Texas is the biggest thing for Notre Dame was what was their television revenue going to be? And from my understanding, NBC is paying them like $70, $75 million a year, which isn't as high as the SEC or the Big Ten, but it's good enough. And now you get this check for $20 million that you don't need to share with anyone.
I also kind of like, you know what? With Notre Dame, there's kind of like, we kind of have a grudge. We don't forget. They wanted to join the Big Ten once upon a time, but there was still anti-Catholic sentiment, and they're like, no, I kind of like that.
That is some deep-seated stuff.
Yeah!
There.
I'm a big grudge guy. I can respect one. Like, in the end, they get to run their own business. And like, to your point, could they probably make more money in one of the two other leagues? I think that's the case. But they own their own company, and guess what? No one's their boss. They don't listen to anyone. They don't have to share. They get to do exactly what they want to do.
I'll say this, though. I wish, and it'll never happen, I wish their five-team agreement was with the Big Ten and not the ACC.
I bet Marcus Freeman doesn't.
No, I know. But, like, well, I mean, let's be honest. Everyone, you know, okay, they play Michigan every 3 years, but they also get to play Minnesota and Maryland and Rutgers.
Well, the problem is now the Big Ten's so huge, it would take you like 20 years to cycle through everybody.
Yeah, right? I mean, they play USC every year anyways, right? For now. I mean, the only thing that's going to force them to join a conference, and I don't know if it'll ever happen, because here's the thing. When Notre Dame played Texas A&M to start the year, it was one of the most watched games of the entire year. So is the SEC and the Big Ten really going to say, you know, don't schedule Notre Dame, guys, even though you'll probably sell out your stadium and make a lot of money and get TV dollars. And guess what? The SEC would never say that, because ESPN would be like, whoa, what are you doing? Don't do that. That's eyeballs for us. And the same for Fox. Like, and CBS, right? CBS grabbed Notre Dame twice this year. Oh. Like, I thought that there would be a wink-wink deal because, not to get super nerdy, the pecking order for Big Ten games goes Fox, Big Noon Kickoff, CBS 330, NBC Primetime. And I was like, oh, Notre Dame's playing at two Big Ten teams this year, Purdue and USC. Clearly, there'll be like a wink-wink, like, let's let those on NBC. CBS was like, nah, no, we'll take them against Purdue, and we'll take them against USC, thank you very much. It's just, I mean, I never say never, because maybe there will be a day where the Big Ten and the SEC have a complete monopoly of the sport, and they force it to happen, but this just hammers home even more that they don't have to join a conference. Because remember some dope on Twitter, like in July or August, I think we talked about it then, it was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Notre Dame can never get a bye? And you and I were like, yeah,
they agreed to it.
And guess how it worked out? They got a home game. And
by the way, they probably made another $15 million on that,
right?
Maybe 20.
Yeah, it's like, oh, darn, we got a home game for the playoff. It really was a bummer.
Dang it. Oh, no. And then we were literally the center of the sport for an entire day. I'm sure that additional exposure was worth nothing. All right, Liam Cohen. All right, this is truly one of the more fascinating NFL moves I've ever seen. So, everyone that follows football knows that Trent Baalke, the lead executive for the Jaguars, like, no one could figure out how that guy kept his job. It's like, does he have dirt on Shad Khan? Like, how did that work? Well, that prevented Ben Johnson reportedly from interviewing, but it really, basically no coach wanted to go and take the job. Earlier this week, it's leaked out that Liam Cohen is going to take the Jaguars job. Then Schefter, I can't remember if this was yesterday or maybe the day before, Schefter announces that Liam Cohen has withdrawn from the race. And so my first spidey sense went off was, whoa, I need to see what happened. Because sometimes people will take their name out when they know someone else is getting the job. So it makes it look like you didn't finish second.
Classic.
Correct.
Classic tactic.
But then, like, within hours, the Jaguars announced they're finally firing Trent Baalke. And then yesterday, late afternoon, I think it was right after the show ended, talks with Liam Cohen heat up again. I mean, to me, it's like, I don't know what the impetus was, but it's almost like Liam Cohen, like, pulled a power play just by being an offensive coordinator. By the way, I think this is a good hire. Like, I think when we kept talking about, like, what are the things that I think Trevor needs, I think this is going to be a pretty good hire. But I literally think it was just a power play move by Cohen to get Baalke out, which I kind of respect.
And apparently to get $13 million a year.
Correct. I think, though, that might just be the going rate now. Unless you're the Dallas Cowboys head coach. Because what was very obvious to me, everyone was trying to see, this is what everyone thinks about the Cowboys. No, nobody wanted the Cowboys job because they're just, Jerry's cheap. He's not going to pay a coach. He believes in the roster more than a coach.
I did just see something from, I think Liam Cohen's wife mentioned something on Twitter, which was interesting. So she just said, Ashley Cohen, I hate that I even have to say this, but when people are negative about my kids, I will not be silent. Our son is sick. We were at the hospital yesterday seeing a specialist for his autoimmune disease. Please don't spread misinformation and assume because you heard one side. So there was the whole discussion of he was ghosting the Buccaneers. Like, to me, it's not a ghosting thing.
This is the other thing that drove me insane. There are, like, Bucs fans that are upset that Cohen is leaving. It's for a head coaching job. It'd be like, I could get it if he was, you know, if they felt a certain way because he was trying to get more leverage to go be a coordinator somewhere else. Like, that I get. This is getting a better job.
And you're supposed to leave a coordinator job for a head coaching position. Like, that's the normal path. By the way, Liam Cohen, man, think about his rise. And I think we talked about it on Tuesday, didn't we?
Yeah, he's part of the, you know, he was coaching in the Ivies.
Yeah. He went to UMass. He played with a buddy of mine, Brandon London, Mike London's son. Then he was the Brown quarterback coach, Rhode Island quarterback coach, back to Brown, to UMass, to Maine. He basically ran a circle over over New England, and then, I'm going to go to the Rams to be an assistant wide receivers coach, and now he's the head coach of the Jaguars. Oh, by the way, he also had two stints of with Kentucky.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'd like to know, what was his paycheck at Brown versus what his paycheck's going to be right now? I think it's a little weird. Why don't we know NFL coach salaries?
We don't?
I mean, there are reports out there. They don't have to release them like they do other, like, player contracts. And so some people, if, like, the agent wants it out there, they'll leak it. But they do not have to report it. And they used to not want to report it because they viewed it as, like, you know, proprietary information. We don't want all the other teams knowing what we're paying our coach. But, like, now there's been better reporting on it. But, I mean, $13 million is basically what Ben Johnson got. And then I think, like, you know, then the Bengals pay, like, $4
million. Also, like, I don't care about coaching salaries. Like, you should pay your coach $25 million. Who cares? Like, Shad Khan has all the money in the world. What does it matter? It does not affect – if it affected your salary cap, like, when a quarterback gets $50 million a year, you're like, whoa, all right, how are you going to maneuver that? Who cares?
No, I mean, that's the other thing.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, if you're a Bucks fan, it's like, it ain't my money.
No, I mean, I think there's also a weird obsession in general over money in sports. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about how we're going to bet this weekend, what we're seeing, what's eyeing us on the board. We'll do that next right here. Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9. All right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke-Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. Whether you have a straightforward W-2 or a more complex return or business, our clients come back year after year. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at TaxTacklers.com.
Then we got championship weekend. We got college hoops. Another big Saturday coming up tomorrow. What are you looking at? What's on your card?
So, before we get into my card.
All right.
On Wednesday night, I got off the air at 8 o'clock local, so 10 o'clock your time. And I was standing there with two guys, one of my co-hosts, another a professional college hoops handicapper. And we had the And you've been to Circa, right?
Yes.
It's called the Mega Bar.
Yep.
It's right outside my studio. It's a huge long bar.
Like, imagine a giant theater with an entire wall of TVs and screens.
Yeah. So the sports book is behind my studio for those who have ever seen it on like Twitter when I post clips. And then right outside is this long bar with two TVs on top of each other the whole way down, right? So I don't know, 40, 50 televisions. So there's an L of screens with games on. And we each have a bet on each one of these games. So my bet was Nebraska as they were taking on USC. My co-host's bet was on Ole Miss as they were taking on Texas A&M. And then the other guy had Georgia against Arkansas. Needless to say, they all lost. And I was the least brutal of the bunch. Mine just was a loser. Nebraska just did not win. I had them on a money line parlay, and I also had them laying six. They lost the game outright. Then you had Ole Miss blow, what was that? They
were up eight with basically, Buzz even said after the game, he's like, the math didn't work out. Like, they had to have a 10-second call, a turnover against the press, and they missed the front end of 1-1.
It was 60-52 at the under 4 media timeout. And Texas A&M, after they got a rebound on a missed front end, hit a 3 to win the game. And then
with a 30% shooter.
And then the other guy had Georgia plus 1. And
they were up 15.
And Arkansas comes all the way back. And then they're up by 1. And I look to him and I'm like, well, the smart thing to do here is to miss on purpose because there's 1.8 seconds to go. And then Georgia can't really do anything. And he does miss on purpose. But with 4 Georgia players on the free throw line, the Arkansas player gets the rebound and puts up a layup at the buzzer. I've never seen anything like it. And then last night, my co-host Matt Humans was like, I'm not betting anything. I'm taking the night off. College hoops can be brutal. And I'm like, you know what? Let's bet a little West Coast hoops. Let's go late night. Santa Clara just beat Gonzaga. They hit 18 threes in the game. They're not going to duplicate that. Oh, but they did. And they destroyed Washington State. So I'm a little gun shy right now. That all being said, it is a very good day on Saturday. So some of the games that are going to be, you know, very intriguing to me. By the way, good ones tonight. Michigan Purdue's a very good game tonight.
Is that on the cock?
No, I think that's normal television. Fox, 8 o'clock.
Okay,
7 o'clock. Initially, I was like, ooh, I kind of like Rutgers on Saturday. However, that game's at Madison Square Garden, so it takes away from the mystique of the rack. A couple other games, Houston at Kansas. I hate road teams, but I just think Houston's tougher than Kansas. I don't really like this Kansas team. And then the headliner is Tennessee-Auburn.
Yep.
How is Auburn going to play? They're going to be, I think right now the line's like 6.5. No Broom still for Auburn, but it hasn't seemed to matter all that much. What would you do in that spot? Tennessee is catching 6.5 right now against Auburn.
I'd probably lay it because I don't think Tennessee's the same team on the road. I know they have the Illinois win, but like Tennessee at home is kind of like autoplay right now. Like they just murder people at home. I'd be inclined to lay it. Because I just feel like most people are going to sit there and go, ooh, Tennessee, 6.5. Give me that.
Yeah, it does seem kind of like a... It was like 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was 3 weeks ago. Oklahoma was undefeated, and they were like catching 12.5 against Bama. And I'm like, be careful. And Bama won by like 50.
Yeah, Oklahoma scheduled their way to a perfect record in non-con.
Yeah, they're getting exposed right now.
Yeah.
They've lost. They did win against South Carolina. By the way, South Carolina, how did they bounce back after that brutal loss?
I mean, that South Carolina and Ole Miss, the only time they were trailing in the game was the buzzer.
Yeah.
I guess technically Ole Miss trailed for like 6 seconds.
That's where I wonder too, like Mississippi State is at South Carolina. Is that a spot you take Mississippi State and be like, how the hell do you bounce back from that?
The other problem though with betting spots right now in college basketball is like spots don't account for shooting.
Look, there's, I mean, I'll say this. Earlier in the week, there were a couple spots that I really liked, and, you know, the dog went outright. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Arizona State was at West Virginia.
Yeah.
West Virginia just beat Iowa State. They celebrated, and Arizona State went in there as a 9-point dog and won the game outright. And then here in my backyard,
I believe they were winless up at that point on the road, too.
UNLV had just beaten San Diego State, and they were back home playing Wyoming, and they lost the game outright as a 9-point home favorite. So I still like my spots, but yeah, and it's always tricky. Like, for example, Nebraska, I mentioned that. I thought it was a great spot. They were 0-4 in conference play. USC was coming to their house, lost the game outright as a 6-point favorite.
All right, I'm doing it.
What are you doing?
I took the Bills. I think these teams are dead even, and I think I just kind of think it's their year, man.
So let me ask you this from a betting standpoint. Would you rather take the Bills?
Yep.
Or Eagles tease down to a pick, Bills up to 8?
I've done both.
Okay. That's my, I think that's where I'm going to end up with a teaser.
I did both.
The more and more I talk myself into it, and I'm not trying, this isn't like the, you know, reverse mush deal.
Yeah, emotional hedge.
Yeah, this isn't that. Like, for Notre Dame, I did it against Georgia, where I was like, I think Georgia's going to win. I'm going to bet Georgia, but I'm going to cheer for Notre Dame. Like, I'm not back all in on Washington in that regard. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. But I still think I'm just going to bet against them. Did I mention the Kelce thing?
Yes.
He's right. Like, they're better every single position outside of quarterback, which is the most important position. But Jalen Hurts is no jabroni. He's pretty darn good. Now, how banged up is that knee? That's certainly a
he's going to wear a brace. I also laid the 6. So I got like double losers all over the board.
You're all in, baby.
I just also think, like, Washington's offensive line going up against that defense, no thank you. And also, Daniels has been spectacular, but he's played the Lions and the Bucks, two teams that basically exclusively run one high safety. So that allows him to basically pick a side and go after it. When Daniels goes up against teams that have 6 defenders or fewer in the box, all 9 interceptions have come in those scenarios. Do you know who leads the league in 6 defenders or fewer in the box defensively?
Philly.
That would be the Eagles.
Also, I heard this stat, and I think it was on the Bet the Board podcast. The 3 games this year in which Jaden Daniels has had the most turnover-worthy throws, Cleveland, Philly.
It's why I ended up laying it. And I also think everybody I think everybody wants Washington.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. Let's get into our tell your story and then we will get out of here. I just kind of liked the Washington defensive coordinator coming out and saying like we're going to hit Jalen Hurts like he's a running back.
Yeah, and I felt like people were like, "Whoa, bulletin, what's wrong with that?"
I just kind of liked it.
Yeah.
All right. When will the refs be the story this weekend?
No.
I tend to agree. All right, my man. We'll holler at you again next week.
Yes, sir. I'm headed to Disneyland, by the way.
Disneyland. I gotta send you the spreadsheet of how to maximize fun.
Please do.
That is Tim Murray. As always, you can follow him on Twitter on X at @1TimMurray. My thanks to Blake Topmeyer. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinn Show is coming up next.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.